Saturday night. How you guys doing? Welcome. Glad you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, before we move forward, let's just give it up for those who are water baptized tonight. Way to go. Such an important step in your spiritual life. You know, we do these about every 6 weeks or so. So if you're a follower of Jesus and yet for whatever reason you've never been water baptized, that's an important next step for you. So make sure you go on our website. You can take the baptism class, sign up to be water baptized. We're going to do it in about 6 weeks, okay? So we'd love to be celebrating your baptism in about 6 weeks. Hey, if you have a Bible, where I'm going to be teaching tonight is the book of Luke. So turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at most of verses 1 to 18, Luke 4, 1 to 18. Before we do get into that, though, I do want to mention a very exciting development that has been happening in our church, sort of behind the scenes over the last 5 months or so. You should have received an email if you're part of our church family from me a couple of days ago. If you haven't read it or you haven't seen it, you might look in your junk email or whatever, but it's a very important email. But I'm happy and excited to tell you that a pastor that used to be on our staff for about 15 years, he was a pastor here, Marty Kaiser. He's coming back. He's coming back. We're getting the band back together, I guess. He's coming back. And we're very pleased about that. Marty planted the Reveal Vineyard Church out of our church back in 2008. Up until then, he'd been a pastor, I think, like I said, for 15 years. Planted Reveal. It's a very successful, thriving church out in Surprise. But Marty decided that he feels like God wants him to come back on our staff. He's going to be our executive pastor. And Reveal, the church in Surprise, is going to become a campus of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. So we're going to be one church and two campuses. So it's a very exciting development. Again, you may have a lot of questions. On our website, we have an FAQ that will probably answer most of your questions. So make sure you look on there. And like I said, if you didn't get the email, make sure you look in your junk email. And if you want to get it and you didn't get it, go to the information center right after the service, and we can get you signed up, all right? So, I've been doing, yeah, it's going to be very exciting. You're going to learn more about this as the weeks go by. But I've been doing a series called Living a Jesus Kind of Life. And in this series, we're looking at the different ways that God changes us from the inside out. And tonight, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and how the Holy Spirit changes us. Now, I know there's a lot of confusion these days about the Holy Spirit, so this is going to be sort of a Holy Spirit 101 kind of message. But the first thing I want you to know is that we want to be a church that is guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit's guidance and power is indispensable, not only in our individual lives, but also in our church. That is so, so important. Now, the Holy Spirit was absolutely fundamental to the life and ministry of Jesus. So I want to say a little bit about that. You may not have ever thought about this before, but everything that Jesus does while he's on this earth, he does through the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke talks about this all throughout his gospel. For example, I had you turn to Luke 4, verse 1. Luke says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit," underline that, "full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit," underline that too, "in the wilderness." So Jesus is filled with the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. And then the very next event, after Jesus spends 40 days being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, it says in verse 14, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit," underline that. "And news about Jesus spread throughout all the surrounding district." And then Jesus gives his very first sermon. We skip up to verse 18. He's quoting Isaiah 61. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are oppressed." And so the ministry of Jesus publicly begins. And whatever Jesus does, he does through the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. He's comforted by the Spirit. He's guided. He's empowered. He's strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says to this little group that he's gathered together that became later known as the church, he says, if you want to follow me, then you're going to need this same power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of his very final words before he ascended to heaven, he says in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. "And you shall be my witnesses." That's what the power's for. Both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. So Jesus says to this tiny little ragtag group of people, he says, "You're going to be the beginning of a movement that will end up going to the ends of the earth." And that, by the way, in fact, happened. Against all odds, that happened. How did that happen? It only happened because these people were empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you know the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, just shortly after this, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes upon this little group of the followers of Jesus. And they end up receiving incredible power. Incredible power. In fact, it was sort of like a seven-year-old being given the keys to the Lamborghini. That was what it was sort of like. They didn't always know what to do with that power, but they had the power. And the church was born. See, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, like I said a minute ago, I know a lot of people, maybe this is you, a lot of people are confused about what the Holy Spirit is like. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not sure. What is the Holy Spirit really like? A lot of people that I've talked to over the years, they're kind of like, you know, I know quite a bit about Jesus. I know some about God the Father. But the Holy Spirit just seems a little bit vague to me. You know, the Holy Spirit seems sort of impersonal, like some kind of force or something. Well, I want you to know, he's not. He's not. And this is a very important point. If you know Jesus, then you know the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus, then you know the Holy Spirit. See, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three different persons, but they don't have three different personalities. It's not like you could give them the Myers-Briggs personality test, and they all come out with three different personalities, and the Holy Spirit would be the shy one. No, it's not like that at all. Not that kind of deal. So, I want you to first look at what Jesus says in John 14:16. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," underline another helper, "that he may be with you forever." Now, when Jesus says he'll give you another helper, there are two words in the Greek language for the word another. Two words. One of the Greek words is heteros, and heteros means another of a similar kind. But the Greek word used here is the word allos, which means another of exactly the same kind. So Jesus is saying, if you know me, then you know the Holy Spirit, because he is an exact same kind of God as I am. So you don't have to wonder what the Holy Spirit is like. If you know Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the big question. Do you think that a Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-empowered life is possible for you? For you. It is. It is. But you have to know some things about the Holy Spirit in order for you to be led and guided and empowered by him. So I want to look at some common questions that I've been asked over the years about the Holy Spirit. And the number one question that people have asked me more than any other question over the years about the Holy Spirit is this: why doesn't the Holy Spirit speak as clearly to me as he does to you? And the answer to that question is because the Holy Spirit likes me more than he likes you. That's why. All right? No, I'm just kidding, obviously. See, the truth is, learning to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit is a process. It's a process. And it's never fully learned. Never. You know, when I first surrendered my life to Jesus, when I was a senior in college and I began going to a church for the very first time, I was totally unchurched, never had gone to a church. The church that I went to didn't really ever talk about the Holy Spirit. And so it was a great church. I learned a lot, good Bible-believing church. They just never talked about the Holy Spirit. So I had very little knowledge, very little theology about who the Holy Spirit was and how the Holy Spirit worked. And it was only a few years later when I began to encounter the Vineyard that I began to understand a little bit more and be taught a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you that to let you realize that it's always a learning process to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a learning process for everyone. And probably the one story in the Bible that is super helpful about this is found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. So in that story, in chapter 3, Samuel, who the book is named after, he's a little boy. And he's alone in the temple at night with an old priest by the name of Eli. And Samuel hears his name being called during the night. And he assumes that it's Eli, the priest, calling him. So Samuel gets up, goes into Eli and says, Eli's asleep. He says, Eli, here I am. You were calling me. Eli says, I wasn't calling you. You had a dream or something. Go lay back down. So Samuel goes back to bed. But he hears a voice again. He thinks it's Eli. So he goes to Eli. Eli, you were calling me. No, I wasn't calling you. Happens a third time. And that's where we pick up in verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So God keeps speaking to Samuel, but Samuel doesn't know that it's God speaking to him. That happens to a lot of people. If you don't think you hear from God, I can guarantee you, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's speaking to you. You're just not always recognizing his voice. So finally, after Samuel keeps going to Eli saying, you called me, finally Eli realizes, well, maybe it's the Lord speaking to Samuel. So Eli says this to Samuel in verse 9. Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Underline that. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. By the way, I had you underline that because that is a great prayer to say to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Would you say that out loud? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I would encourage you, write that down. Write that down. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So God speaks to Samuel another time, and Samuel's life with God begins. So here's the main point that I want to get out of this story. Again, God was speaking to Samuel that entire time, but Samuel didn't realize that it was God speaking to him. In other words, it's possible for God to communicate with someone, and yet that person doesn't know that it's God who's communicating with him. That's exactly what happened with Samuel. Now, let me say a word about how this kind of communication happens. And by the way, this is not original with me. You know, Christians have thought about this for centuries. Communication is simply the process of guiding somebody else's thoughts. Guiding somebody else's thoughts. See, because I'm speaking right now, you are having certain thoughts that you most likely would not be having if I weren't speaking. At least you're having a few thoughts that you wouldn't be happening if I weren't speaking, because you're paying attention at least a little bit. But that's what we do when we communicate with each other. Somebody says something to me, and I have thoughts about what they're saying. They are guiding my thoughts. They are guiding my thoughts. Now, because we're all human, we have to use finite means to communicate. Somebody has to make sounds, and we hear them. Or they have to use sign language, and we see it. And then we think certain thoughts. Or somebody can write things down on paper, and we read that writing, and it guides our thoughts. See, we can, and we do, guide each other's thoughts. But because we're finite, we have to use finite means. However, God is not finite. God is infinite. And one of the things that means is that God can guide your thoughts. He can guide your thoughts and my thoughts without having to use any finite means at all. God can guide thoughts without having to use sounds, without having to use sights. In other words, because God is infinite, he's able to guide people's thoughts directly. Directly. It's possible for you to have a thought, for you to have an idea, for you to have a leading, for you to have an impression, for you to have a prompting that comes directly from the Holy Spirit. That is what was happening with Eli. But for Samuel to realize what was going on, he needed to be guided. He needed to be taught by the old priest, Eli. He needed someone to help him learn how to recognize the voice of God when it came to him. And it's the same way with us. We need someone to help guide us how to begin to recognize the voice of God. And probably the best place for you to be taught how to recognize the voice of God is in a small group. Small groups are where I began to be taught for the very first time on how to recognize the voice of God. We would have worship. During worship, at the end of worship, you know, we'd be tuned in, and the leader would say something like, you know, we're asking the Holy Spirit now to speak to us. And we were silent, and then he would say, okay, some of you are going to have a thought. come into your mind. Or maybe you're going to have a picture of something come into your mind's eye. Or maybe you're going to have a word that comes into your mind's eye, whatever that is. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Well, we're like, well, how do we know if it's the Holy Spirit or not? Well, you have to risk. You have to step out in the group and risk and say, hey, I don't know if this means anything to anybody in the group, but I just had this thought. And you say it. I don't know if this is the Holy Spirit. And you say it. And somebody's in the group. That really speaks into what's happening in my life right now. That's how you realize that was the Holy Spirit. You're going to get thoughts. You're going to get impressions. For me personally, you know, this is just me. I can actually see in my mind's eye oftentimes typewritten words of something the Holy Spirit wants to do in a person's life or in a church service, what he wants me to talk about or whatever, or in a small group. That's one of the ways it comes to me. But as you, you know, as you're around this kind of stuff longer and as you risk more and share with people more of what you think maybe the Holy Spirit is saying because you had a picture, you had an impression, you had a word, you had a thought, whatever, that's how you begin to recognize what's the Holy Spirit and what maybe is not the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can and does communicate with human beings directly through thoughts, through ideas, through words, through pictures, all of that. And it's a learning process to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. All right, second question about the Holy Spirit. Isn't this, quote, guidance of the Holy Spirit something reserved for spiritual giants and not for people like me? That is a very common misconception that people have. And it keeps so many people from having a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. So many people think something like, well, you know, that's for somebody else. It's not for me. I don't really know the Bible that well. I'm not really very spiritually mature. Here's what I want you to know. The fact that God speaks to you is no indication of any kind of specialness on your part. It's not an indication of spiritual superiority because God speaks to someone. In other words, there's no mark of specialness in the one to whom God speaks. And a classic story about this is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And it's about the Hebrew prophet Balaam. Some of you know this story. The prince of Moab, Moab was a nation that was warring against God's chosen people, Israel at that time. The prince of Moab asked this sort of gifted prophetic person named Balaam to go and curse the people of Israel. Curse them. And eventually, because they're going to pay him enough money, Balaam says, okay, I'll go do it. But God doesn't want Balaam to go do it. But Balaam goes anyway. And so God wants to stop Balaam. So what does God do? He sends an angel with a sword to block Balaam's way while he's riding there on a donkey. Now, here's the deal. Balaam doesn't see the angel with the sword in front of him because they were invisible to him. But Balaam's donkey that he's riding on sees them. And so the donkey turns aside three times because he doesn't want to go forward because there's an angel with a sword there. And Balaam gets so mad at his donkey that he beats the donkey three times. Here's where we pick up, verse 28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? It asked Balaam. You've made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. But I'm the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. I can't even imagine this conversation that's going on. I mean, can you? It's so weird. Verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand, and Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. So Balaam ends up obeying God, and he doesn't go and curse God's people. Now, what I want you to think about is the donkey in this story. I mean, this is an unusual experience for an animal, isn't it? Very unusual. So what if the donkey had become filled with pride because God spoke to him and spoke through him? What if the donkey had then gone back to the stable and said to all the other animals there, "Get down on your knees, creatures. You're just ordinary dumb beasts of burden. But I am your spiritual superior. I, a donkey, am the mouthpiece of the Lord." Do you know what would have happened if the donkey would have done that? She would have made an ass of herself. I could not pass it up. I'm so sorry. I couldn't resist. But see, the fact is, God can speak to anyone. And God can speak through anyone, even a donkey. God can guide anyone. See, because he's God, he can do that. And it's no mark of spiritual superiority or specialness just because God speaks to someone. And I want you to know, the idea that guidance from God is available only to, quote, special Christians is absolutely deadly to the life of a follower of Jesus. Every follower of Jesus is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak to every follower of Jesus, no matter how spiritually mature or immature a person might be. As long as you're open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you're wanting the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you have, you know, sort of the posture of your heart, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." All right, third common question about the Holy Spirit. Is there some special technique or formula or prayer I can use to get the Holy Spirit to do what I want? The simple answer to that is no. See, there are some things in life that you can predict, some things that you can control, some things that are sort of, you can put in a box, but the Holy Spirit is not one of those, not at all. Jesus says this in John 3:8, "The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from, where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Holy Spirit." See, there's a mystery to the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing. Because part of what that teaches us is that we are not in control. We're not in control. It's not about our cleverness. It's not about our strength or our wisdom or our power. There's a mystery in walking with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've ever led a small group, you may have experienced something like this. And by the way, I just want to pause for a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to some of you about leading a small group. Some of you have never led a small group. Maybe you used to be in leadership at another church, but when you came to the Vineyard, you just haven't got back into leadership. There's a call on your life. Others of you, you used to lead small groups. You used to do that kind of stuff, but maybe since COVID or whatever, you've gotten out of that. And there's a call on your life to pastor people, because that's what small group leaders do. They're our first line of pastoral care. And I believe that for some of you, the Holy Spirit is prompting you, even right now, he's prompting you that you need to begin leading a small group. And so if that's you, whatever you need to do to make that happen, then you need to start down that road. But if you've ever led a small group, you could probably relate to this. You know, you're a small group leader, you prepare for your small group, You pray about the small group. The group happens, and it just falls kind of flat. Nothing really happens much. It's, you know, it didn't seem like the Lord was doing all that much, and you don't really know why. And then other times, maybe you've had a bad attitude all week. And maybe you haven't really prepared all that much for the small group. You haven't really prayed much. And yet you have the small group, and the Holy Spirit shows up in a powerful, in a wonderful way, and you don't really know why. It's like the wind. Blows where it will. There's a mystery in walking with the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the adventure of you and I walking with the Holy Spirit. I cannot control what the Holy Spirit does, and neither can you. And thankfully, our job isn't to try to control what the Holy Spirit does. No, our job is to simply align ourselves with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Our job is simply to say, "Speak, Lord." What's the rest of it? "Your servant is listening." "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then, when he speaks, I obey. No matter what, I obey. That is the adventure. So, I want you to think about that prayer over the next few weeks and pray it on a regular basis. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then when you feel like maybe an idea came into your mind that you weren't having, a thought comes into your mind, an impression, maybe you see a picture, maybe a word, whatever, how it might come to you, and you feel like you're supposed to do something about that, then step out, take a risk, and do it, whatever it is. Now, when these promptings come, there are two guidelines that I want to give you tonight. The first one has to do with what Paul says in Ephesians 4:30. I didn't write that verse on your outline, but you can look it up in Ephesians 4:30. Paul says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit." Now remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. And a person has feelings, right? The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You say, "Well, Brian, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit?" Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we knowingly choose to sin. When we willingly choose to disobey and not follow what we know the Holy Spirit is telling us, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, people sometimes wonder, maybe you wonder this. "Well, Brian, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit that's giving me this impression or this thought or this feeling or this idea or this picture? How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit and it's not just, you know, my own feelings, my own flesh, what I had the night before for dinner? How do I know it's not the devil? How do I know all that?" Well, that's a good thing to think about because we're certainly not infallible, right? But we do know some things about the Holy Spirit. For example, we know that the Holy Spirit always leads us into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So, if I have a thought, I have an impression, I have an idea, I have, you know, a word, and it leads me away from love, or away from joy, or away from peace, or whatever, that is not the Holy Spirit. Now, there is one caveat there. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, it may lead you away from peace. It's not a very peaceful thing to be convicted of sin. But that's still the Holy Spirit. Now, we also know that the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Bible. Never contradicts the Bible. Say that out loud. Never contradicts the Bible. You know, a few years ago, this has actually happened several times, unfortunately, in our church over the years. Guy came to me and basically told me that he was married, But he had fallen in love with this other woman, and he said something like, I know God wants me to be happy, and I know God wants her to be happy, because God wants everybody to be happy. So I know that God wants me to divorce my wife and marry this other woman. Now, there are no biblical grounds. You know, there is a biblical ground. If your spouse is unfaithful, if they've committed adultery, there was none of that. But I know God wants me to marry this other woman and divorce my wife. Now, there is a phrase that describes what that guy was telling me. And that phrase is a cross between a crocodile and an abalone. It was a croc of baloney. That's what that was. There was a spirit guiding that guy, but it was not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you in a way that contradicts Scripture. And the Holy Spirit never leads you into sin. Now, unfortunately, I know that we can become really good at rationalizing things that we want to do by saying, God told me. God is telling me to do this. But I want you to know, that is a very serious thing to say, God told me, when God really didn't tell you. That's actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Very serious sin. So don't do that. Don't say the Holy Spirit is guiding you or God told you unless you really know it. Now, it's okay to say something like, I think God might be telling me. Okay, I can get that because we don't know. But don't say that God told me when you know he didn't. So, the Holy Spirit will always lead us in ways that are consistent with the fruit of the Spirit and consistent with the gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. Another thing we know about the Holy Spirit, number 5, the Holy Spirit will generally lead us into serving. Into serving. If you have a thought like, well, maybe I should start serving as a small group leader, or maybe I should start serving in children's ministry. Maybe I should start serving in the bookstore, the coffee bar, maybe whatever. And it's an area of service. You can know that's the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Because the devil does not want you to serve. The Holy Spirit is the one who wants people to serve. Satan will not give you a thought of serving. In fact, any thoughts about serving or reading your Bible more, praying more, going to a small group, whatever, any thoughts that you have that will deepen your walk with Jesus, those thoughts are coming from the Holy Spirit. All right, second guideline concerning the Holy Spirit's promptings, besides don't grieve the Spirit, is don't quench the Spirit. And Paul says that very clearly. Do not quench the Spirit. And one of the main ways I quench the Spirit is by not listening to him. Not listening to him. Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. How do I do that? How do I walk by the Spirit? Well, one way is you go through your day, and you're just open. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You go into a meeting at work. God, I want you to speak to me in this meeting about what you want me to do. You're having trouble with your teenager. God, what do you want me to do? How should I handle this with my teenage son or my teenage daughter or whatever? Speak, Lord. I want to hear from you. Your servant is listening. And the more you live your life that way, the more promptings, the more ideas, the more thoughts from God you'll have, and then you obey those. You obey those. And I'll tell you something. This is going to happen to you this week. For some of you, this is going to happen tonight. It's going to happen tomorrow. You'll have a thought. And it might be a thought like, I think I need to be more generous with my finances. I haven't been that generous to God with my finances. And maybe say, okay, God, I'll be more generous with my finances. If you just increase my finances, I'll be more generous. And God will probably say, no, I want you to be generous first. I want you to step out, be generous, trust me, and then I'll increase them. Or maybe you have a prompting that'll say something like, I want you to try to have a spiritual conversation with this person that you work with. Okay, God, give me some kind of sign that I'm supposed to do that. Let me know, God, that this is going to end up a great story if I risk and do this. God, take the pressure off. You know, take my fear away. What does God say? God says, no, I want you to step out and have this conversation. I want you to risk no matter how it turns out. Maybe there's hidden sin in your life. God might say, I want you to confess that sin to somebody and have them pray for you. I want you to get it out in the light. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. If you begin to live your life that way, it will happen. It will. Thoughts will come. There'll be promptings. And you need to step out, risk, and obey. And I think for some of you, that might be happening right now. I think for some of you, you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. And if you haven't done that, you're never going to hear the Holy Spirit except to lead you to Jesus. And some of you, the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Jesus even tonight. And if you've never surrendered your life to him, you could do it tonight. You could. Let's pray together. Would you bow your head with me? Holy Spirit, I pray right now that right before we end this service, that you'd begin to drop some thoughts, some ideas, some impressions, some words in people's hearts and minds about what you're wanting them to do. Maybe it's something about work. Maybe it's something about a person. Maybe it's about serving. Maybe it's about surrendering their life to you, Jesus. Now, right now, some of you are having a thought. It's a random thought. It's probably the Lord. You need to say to him, yes, Lord, and then you need to obey it, whatever it is. But for those of you that have never fully surrendered your life to Jesus, you could do it right now. We're going to have a ministry team up here at the front, and I'm going to dismiss the service in about 30 seconds. But if you'd like somebody to pray for you, just stick around and come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. We'll have a ministry team up here. But especially if you're having this thought, you know, I don't think I've ever fully surrendered my life to Jesus. How do I do that? That's the Holy Spirit. You need to come to the front and talk to one of our ministry team members. They'll explain to you very easily how to do that. You can do it tonight. Would you all stand? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go tonight. And if the ministry team would make your way to the front. Lord, I pray that you would help us to begin to live our lives more open to the Holy Spirit's promptings. Lord, help us become men and women who are more often thinking about, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then as you begin to give us ideas and thoughts and impressions, Lord, give us the courage to at times take a risk and really say yes to what we believe you're saying to us. Help us to live more that way each and every day. I pray for all my friends tonight, both online and in person as they go. Lord, would you bless them? Would you keep them? Would you cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them? Would you lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace? And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great night. We'll see you soon.